always count it a great blessing to be able to come to Cool Springs. Don't get up here too often, but think of you quite often. I told Brother Philip as I came in the door tonight that coming to Cool Springs in a lot of ways is sort of like coming home, because I grew up not far from here and was coming to Cool Springs quite frequently in my younger life, and in my even since I've been ordained, which has been now about 56 years. But I met Brother Philip in the state of California when he was just a little boy. And he and his brother James and his sister Sarah and their mother and father and kind of some of my dearest friends. I will tell this, at the time that I visited with Brother Philip's father and the family over at Salida, California, there were two factions of Old Baptists in the state of California, and they were not associating with each other. But Brother John Conley invited me to fill an appointment over with the group that he was pastoring, and some from the other side of the other group, they came over to that appointment. And since that time, there's been a closer relationship between those two bodies of Old Baptists. And I give Brother Conley a lot of the credit for that. So it's a great pleasure to know Brother John, his father. I told him that it said in my newsletter that Brother Grant sent me that Brother Philip Conley was, Elder Philip Conley was to preach here tonight. He said, well, he was, but he said Elder Raven Lord's going to preach first. So since he is the pastor, and I guess he's in control, I'll have to do what he says do. I do appreciate the good humble prayer, Brother Buddy. Hope each of you will pray secretly and silently unto the Lord for me. We certainly solicit an interest in your prayers on our behalf, and I promise you that I won't be very long before you. Seems like a thought that's been upon our mind is maybe a familiar thought, and that's some of the expressions that David made. He said in the 27th division of the Psalms, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, David had a lot of desires, that were certainly not good for him and got him in trouble on more occasions than one. But he's one of the colorful characters that's mentioned so many times in the Bible. Over in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus is referred to so many times as the son of David, and in the natural lineage of our Savior, you can trace his lineage down through David. And the Lord said on one occasion that David was a man after his own heart. I don't altogether know what that means, as well as a lot of other things in the Bible that I don't know what it means. I haven't graduated. I haven't gotten my diploma after 60 years in trying to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I hope I'm still in the school of learning, trying to learn something even as I grow older. But I think this evidently was one of the greatest desires that he had, because he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." That lets us know that there is some seeking that we can do as God's children to be able to find. And I believe it was Jeremiah that says, "Stand ye in the ways and inquire wherein is the good way, and walk therein." There are many ways here in the world, many religious ways that are taught by men. But there's a good way that is far exceeds all the other ways. There's a right way. And that right way is to follow what the Bible teaches and to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And David said, "I'm going to seek after that." He says, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." You know, there's a difference in living in a place where some people say that's where I hang my hat and where you live, you know. But a house or a home is a wonderful place to have, even from a natural standpoint. There's where the family can gather together. There is where they can fellowship with each other. There is where they can present their troubles and their joys to one another. And where we can openly speak with each other in our natural homes. And it's a shelter there that shelters us from even the natural elements. And there's a warmth about the home or our houses that is nowhere else. I don't know who was the first one said, but who said, "There's no place like home." He had been away from home, evidently. And he knew what it was to get to go back home. And that's been one of the greatest ambitions of my life when I have gone away from home. I know I've traveled pretty extensively through the United States in the last good many years and enjoy the trips that I make, enjoy being with the saints of God. But one of the greatest joys is when I get to go back home to be with my family. And you know, usually the closer I get to home, the faster I drive sometimes, you know, and maybe drive faster than I should. But he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Did he say just on Sunday morning or when we're having big meeting? He said all the days of my life. And like I've already mentioned, almost 61 years ago, I asked for a home with the Old Baptist. And it's been a great home for me down through the years. And I've had a desire to live in such a way that I could dwell there, that I could be at peace with my brethren and my friends there, because the dearest friends on earth that I have are in the Old Baptist Church. That doesn't mean that I don't have other friends, but you know, when it comes to a real relationship, I'm closer to my natural kin folks than I am other folks around, you know. And so it is, I'm with my spiritual brothers and sisters. I like to be with them because they speak my language. We can understand each other. We have experienced the same things in life. And we can do that in the house of the Lord and enjoy His great and wonderful blessings. He says to behold the beauty of the Lord. But I believe Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that when we shall see him, there is no beauty about him that we should desire. Is there a contradiction here? I don't think so. There are no contradictions in God's blessed word. I believe that Isaiah was explaining and talking about his physical condition and the punishment that he had taken, and that he was not like a rock star, he was not like a movie star, he was just an average person. There's nothing from that standpoint that made him more outstanding from that standpoint than anyone else. He could disappear in a crowd when he was in a crowd, when it was his desire to do so. But I'll tell you, friends, when you begin to talk about Jesus and what he's done for poor sinners like I am and like you are, and see that he is a merciful Savior, that he loved us with an everlasting love, and that he was willing to leave the courts of glory and come into a sin-cursed earth and here live for 33 or 33 and a half years, walk the shores of Galilee, and finally go to the cross of Calvary and give his life and shed his precious blood there on the tree of the cross. I'll tell you, that gets more and more beautiful to me when you tell me that he loved his people with an everlasting love, and that he knows every one of them. He knows their names, and he calls us by name. And not only that, but he meets with us from time to time, even privately. I've been about my daily occupation. I've ridden tractors. I've ridden bulldozers, heavy equipment, and I have concentrated upon him and had some good spiritual thoughts of the blessings that he has bestowed upon a poor sinner like me. And the more I see of him, the more beautiful he becomes, the more I could appreciate him for what he's done for a poor sinner like me. He didn't say, now, if you happen to get in trouble, he'll be with you. He says, for in the time of trouble. That sounds like trouble's going to come in our lives, doesn't it? And certainly it does. If you're one of God's children, you've never had any trouble, I don't have a bright message for you, a good message for you. You're going to have trouble down the road. I've had troubles in my life, and almost like David said sometimes, O Lord, art thou clean gone forever? But then on the other hand, sometimes I feel like the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That he is my Savior, he's my God, and he's provided all the things that I need for time and eternity. So he says he will hide me in his pavilion. Isn't it wonderful to be able to go to him in the secret of our life, away from everybody else, and just talk to him and tell him about our troubles? It's not that he doesn't know about our troubles. He knows all about us. But we tell him about it. I like for my children, you know, when they were growing up, and you know, I thought that when they was little, we was going to wean them, but there are some of them not weaned yet, you know. And they're all, the oldest one's about 43, the youngest one's about 43 years old now. But they still can come to me and do come to me if they have a special need. And if I can help them, I'm glad to help them in any way that I can. But don't you think our Heavenly Father is greater than we are, His natural fathers, that He knows what we need and is able to supply our every need according to the riches of His grace? And how thankful we ought to be for a God like this. The secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And the only rock that I could imagine would be the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a rock, who is a security Well, maybe we should say he is a surety instead of a security. There's a difference in a security and a surety. I borrowed some money one time, well, several times, but one particular time I'm thinking about that the banker wouldn't loan me the money without I got a friend of mine and a friend of his to sign the note for me. He became a security for me. He was looking to me to pay the debt, but if I didn't pay the debt, this man that signed the security note was to pay the debt for me. Well, I was blessed to be able to pay the debt. But Jesus Christ, my friends, sin was never charged to you. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so instead of him becoming a security for our sins, he became a surety for us. And that he is ready to come to our assistance, to help us in time of trouble. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? All of us, under the sound of my voice, have had troubles in our lives. We've had death to come to our members of our family. And that's not a good time, a good thing for us to bear as God's little children. But isn't it wonderful to have one that we can lean upon, that knows, that's acquainted with us? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, the apostle wrote to the Hebrew brethren. And he says, we have a merciful high priest. And since we have one like this, who is passed into the heavens, he said, let us hold fast our profession. Let us cling to it and not let it go. And what is your profession? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners and that he saved your poor soul. And there are many other professions that we believe in, my friends, concerning the Godhead. And, I used to stop at that verse right there. But I read the next verse that said, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Did you know that God's people's got enemies out there in the world? They are ready to come and destroy and mar our peace and happiness, and would close Cool Springs Church doors if they had the power to do so. The devil is still as a roaring lion, and he's going to and fro in the earth, deceiving whom he can, my friends. But when you're in the house of the Lord, your head is above your enemies. You're higher than they are. Why are you higher? Because the church is the highest institution that's in the world. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. Its origin is from heaven, my friends. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be appreciative of it. And so, and now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, will I, because of this, I'm in the right place to offer sacrifices of praise and adoration. Now, we can praise him out yonder in the world, but I don't believe we can praise him like we can in the house of God when we gather together and sing the songs of Zion and pray the humble prayers unto him, and preach and hear the glorious gospel of God's free and amazing grace. I tell you, that's good news to me. And I never have gotten tired of it. The more I hear about it, the more I want to hear. just like when I first fell in love, naturally speaking, I wanted to be with her all as much as I could, And I wanted to tell her, Of course, I told people that I've had two wives, but I said not at the same time, you know. I don't want people to get confused about that, but oftentimes they've asked me, say, "Do you love me?" And I never have said no yet. I've always said yes. I don't care what kind of mood I was in. I always said yes, I love you. But what really hurt when they come back and say, "Well, why don't you act like it?" Now, I could ask you the question, do you love the Lord? Do you love His church? Do you love His kingdom? Well, you would say, "Yes, I do." Well, I could say, "Why don't you act like it? Why don't we live in such a way to show the praises of our God?" It's good to be here, and I want to hear Brother Philip. May the Lord bless you. Remember this poor sinner is my prayer.